Beckman Unleashed podcast number 49.
We are live.
All right, 49. I couldn't think of a football player's number. It's got to be, it's a horrible number to be.
I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, it's a terrible number. So there are none probably, or not many good ones. All right, here's what we're going to do. We have a guest.
I think like 49ers or something. We could throw at him now.
Yeah, but that's not a number, but that's fine.
A year
and a team. So we have Jason Corey as a guest coming on in 5 minutes, which is pretty awesome. And he did, it was funny. I'm going to set this up for everybody before he comes on. I talked last week about kids and how it's hard to, I have to say this right because I get a lot of heat for it. And I've said it many times, kids and how it's hard to be a great dog trainer without having kids. And I always get heat for it. I messaged him, okay, and because I mentioned his name because he is a good dog trainer and a good human being, and he doesn't have kids. And then they just made 20 minutes ago, him and his wife Kara just did a whole live on their YouTube channel about not having kids, and it was very interesting because they talked about like why they didn't have kids, and she talked about like the nurturing nature and how it kind of it, with the dogs, Bruce Wayne and Justice, and how it she still is able to. And it was just really interesting talk. And so we're going to talk to him about that.
Yeah. Are you going to pressure him into having a whole stable of kids?
I am not. Okay. Actually, I'm going to go through like the hard part of kids but how dogs are different. And I'm going to get him and Kara's opinion on that because they have a good way. There are people without kids that are just like obnoxious non-kid people. And there's people with kids that are not obnoxious kid people.
We're that group, right?
We might be that group. But the obnoxious non-kid people are sort of not like, oh, you know, you people with kids, you're like they have this reasonable kind of, they've thought about it and there's reasons they don't have kids. And like, it's this really reasonable approach. And Jason said some things that I'm going to bring up to him where he goes, someone said to her, oh, who's going to take care of you when you're older? And Jason Corey said, well, people shouldn't have kids, so they take care of them when they're older, which is such a true thing to say. I've never thought my kids are going to take, I literally never thought, oh, these kids are going to take care of me.
I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
You've thought that?
No. Kids are so expensive to think that like, they're going to pay your way through life later on. That's a bold assumption.
That's crazy. And like someone said that to Kara and I was like, so here's my point. He goes, yeah, that's insane to think. Well, that is insane to think from somebody who doesn't have kids that gets lost a lot. That wasn't lost on him. I'm giving him props because I just don't meet that many people without kids that I have a lot in common with. So when you meet,
Say this out loud?
Do you? Who doesn't have kids?
I don't think about it like that.
That we're like, yeah, we totally jive.
When I talk to people that don't
like
have
they're
kids,
younger,
I don't
us.
Even think about it. Like I'm like, do they have kids? They don't have kids. I don't even think about it.
Yeah, but like, hanging out with them and going places with them, and they don't have kids, and you're just like, your kids are running around like crazy, and they don't have any kids, and you're.
I don't hang out with people that don't have kids. Are you crazy?
Do you?
What? No. What would we have in common?
That's what I just said.
I know, but I mean, I don't tell the world that.
Yeah. Well, I do. Yeah.
I don't tell people I don't think I hang out with anybody.
I don't think I hang out with, I think it's all people with kids.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, people don't understand. Or I mean, if you have small children, you're in such like a chaotic part of your life.
Yeah.
Like only like just a friend of ours that you know, who's got 3-ish, maybe 4-ish kids. And, you know, he's just going through it. And I'm like, we just have such a connection because I'm like, bro, I get it.
Yeah.
I get what you're going through. And he's like, yeah, I get
it. It's rough.
I get it for you. And we have, you know, businesses and stuff going on that like, there's no days off. There's no like,
no,
you don't just take the weekend off and go to bed. No. Or something.
It's like painful in many ways.
What,
and
life
that,
or
children and having kids. Yeah. It's pain and it's joy. And it's all these things. And it, to some degree, it's ego. Like if you have a bunch of kids, you're just like, I want little me's running around. I think I'm so great. Like I want a lot of me's running around. Like you got to be careful of that. You know, and you, there's just there, it's so deep and so that it's interesting to talk to people that don't have kids and they have a good perspective on life.
Do you think it is ego, or do you think it's like be fruitful and multiply, or do you think it's just like,
I mean, it's a lot of
an
things.
Attitude. I mean, I don't know.
Why did we have kids? We had one kid, we enjoyed it. We had another kid, we enjoyed having that other kid, and then the third kid was a surprise. we like him.
Speaking of surprises, he's great. Look who
and
we
then
got.
If we had another there, there they are. And there's one of Bruce Wayne maybe in the back, or Justice cruising. Prince is also right over there. So what we like to do is, when they, for everyone listening, they, it pops their picture on, and then we talk about them when they're sitting there, and they can hear us,
and then they laugh,
and then they, yeah, and they're just chilling. Look at that good looking couple.
Yeah, they're handsome.
Dude, they work out like all the time. They're in like great shape.
I know. We should have them give us some pointers on
that.
You
don't need any pointers. You work out all the time. I need pointers.
I look like the guy that doesn't work out all the time. And
but
so
you kinda
do. I need some help.
Which is interesting that you're not getting any
buffer.
Should
we patch him in, or should we just yap for like 5 minutes?
I like just talking about him kind of while they're sitting there.
I think that would be.
Look at, there's, okay, that's Bruce
now
Wayne.
We have to know
I think
what's
that's
going
Bruce
on.
Wayne. Okay, that's
Let me patch
Bruce
him
Wayne.
In.
He's famous. That dog is famous, bro.
Okay, I'm gonna make an
like more than
decision.
I knew. I think Bruce Wayne is really famous.
Okay, I can't handle the excitement.
Maybe he's
anymore.
More famous than Prince.
And here they are.
What's up, guys?
Hey, there they are. Hi, guys.
You're right, Bruce Wayne and Justice over here.
I was right.
The adolescent still.
Which one's which?
This is Bruce.
Bruce.
Justice is still growing a little bit.
He's over here wiggling.
Oh, really?
He's still very much puppy-like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you... I want to ask you real quick. I want to ask you, how big of a star is Bruce Wayne? Like, I was watching a lot of your videos and I'm like, I think he's a giant star.
He really actually popularized the breed.
Really?
So, yeah. Like, nobody really knew about the breed until I started doing videos on him, and like the breed blew up. That's so it was kind of like, oh, I was doing videos just to talk about the breed.
Yeah.
And then everybody started getting them, even though I'm like, they're not for everyone. They're not for first time dog owners. They don't come like this. They take a lot of work.
Yeah.
So you're to blame is what you're saying.
Yes, I'm to blame.
No, that's funny. And I've heard other people say that. And that's really interesting that, and I know that that's the honest take, because there's a timeline to it, right? I mean, there's a famous first Cane Corso, and it might be him. It sounds like,
yeah,
and that's
it really
pretty wild.
Is. Yeah, it's crazy. Didn't expect it, you know, but he's been a blessing in our lives in many ways, like a ton of ways, you know. Yeah.
How old is he?
He just turned 7 March 1st.
Oh, wow.
And Justice will be 2.5 next month.
Yeah, so I want to, at some point, I have some questions for you that I think you guys would be really good people to answer this. And I do want to ask, like, bringing justice into the home, because people always ask me about introducing a puppy, and I have not technically introduced a puppy to my current dog. I've talked to people about it. I've been in people's homes about it, but you really have that experience to bringing in a puppy.
And they're both intact. Yeah. They're both intact males.
Both intact. So let's get to that. In a minute. But first thing I want to say, bro, I've been stalking you and looking at your videos, and you know, we've talked before, and and I've loved that. I looked at your oldest video, and I looked at it and I go, this is an amazing video for your oldest video. I was like, this is really good. And I was like, you had to have some, like, it was about you getting stuck at the airport.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that video? Yeah. And I was like, this guy's really good. And you were like, had the energy, and you like put in some clips of movies. And I was like, this is really good. Like, were you in movie and TV work in any way? Or how did you know to do that well? I swear to God.
Like, my background's videography. I was actually the creative director of some sports nutrition companies before I quit a few years ago. She's had a YouTube channel for over 10 years that I'm like the producer.
He's
essentially
the guy.
I'm the guy behind everything. Like,
I don't upload, I don't edit, so it's all been him.
Yeah. There, so even, I mean, I'll be 46 next month, and when I was 16, I started skateboarding and making skateboarding videos. So I've been doing like video photography my whole life.
bro, that's it. I knew it.
That's cool. Yeah. The kind words, by the way.
Yeah. If you watch my first videos, I actually took like 4 videos off. I was like, I can't show these. Like, you can't hear me. You can't see me. And like a year ago, I was like, I got to take these off. It's a 10-year-old video. It's like the most random thing ever. So then I saw yours and I was like, you were just really good. Like, your energy was really good. And I was just, it was good. And so I knew there had to be something like that. Have been your first video like you ever make. It was impossible.
Yeah.
So
I want to see those skate videos. If you could send me them offline, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Skateboarding has changed quite a bit since then.
Yeah. My kids skateboard.
Oh, do they?
They're like big skateboarders. Yeah. That's my daughter.
Do you live in San Diego? Or just outside?
Outside of San Diego, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I used to travel there all the time to go skateboarding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's a big hub for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if we know some of the same people. It's a small community, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? That skate
community. Beautiful.
Yeah.
We need to go visit together. We've never been to California together.
Yeah.
We've been together 25 years next month, too, and never been to California together.
Really? What? Where do you live? Where do you live?
We live in Syracuse, New York, like right in the center of New York State.
Really? Oh, yeah.
We're just getting over winter. It was snowing 2 weeks ago.
Oh, bro. You New Yorkers, you guys are all about like, it's like the winter and then summer hits or spring hits. And like, I think your kind of life kind of changes, right? Like, it's a big.
Yeah. It's like 6 months of winter.
Yeah.
And then it's like summer.
Yeah.
Joel doesn't know what winter means, though. So you have to kind of let him know.
Yeah. No, but the New Yorkers, they're funny like that. Like, they go live in Florida. Like, they live different places. It's just like nice.
We want to move down south for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Yeah.
We just got a second home in Virginia, like a short-term rental property we're doing. And that's in Virginia. So a little nicer weather down there. We went to it once. We're like, ooh, we want to stay here now. We don't want to rent it out. We want it for us now.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys came to California, would you drive? Would you just
come? No, we'd fly.
Would just you two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just you two, like a little vacation.
Yeah. It'd be really cool to do like a cross country trip in an RV someday with the dogs. We always thought it'd be cool.
Yeah. Vlog it.
Yeah.
I looked it up last night because my wife is from Pennsylvania. She's from outside of Philadelphia. And she goes, she goes, how long would it take to get there? And I was like, Liz, you have no idea how long it would take to drive to Pennsylvania. And I Googled it or whatever. But dude, it's like, it's 42 hours of straight driving. I was like, this is, she goes, oh my God. Okay. Yeah, we can't do kids? That's a month of that's a trip for a month. Cause you can't just drive straight.
That's a lot of driving.
It's like a month trip, which would be awesome, but a month is hard. You guys can do it though. Like I feel like I don't know your life completely, but like with you guys, I feel like you guys could manage it with your dogs, make content, drive across the country.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
Visit us.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
You come to San Diego, right? We go and we do stuff. We show you the place. Don't even go to San Diego. Like, San Diego's not great. We live outside of San Diego, both of us. But like,
burbs.
Yeah, but like the beach, North County communities is awesome. Yeah. You'll love it, bro. Go skate park.
I'm sure I'd love it. Yeah.
We'll hang out with Tony Hawk and stuff. It'll be fun.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Nice. He lives in Carlsbad, right?
Yeah, right by you. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right by me, dude. Don't give it up.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Bro, where I live.
Anyone who's a faithful watcher knows everything about you.
About me?
Yeah, you share all this stuff.
Yeah, I don't share where I live.
Oh, I know.
Really?
Yeah, he
lives in Tijuana. Everyone. He doesn't live in
America. I'll tell you a story because it's really like a stupid thing, like where I live. But like, my facility is kind of known where that is, and so I don't live there all the time for a variety of reasons. And then, so I'm at my new house and a guy, I never get recognized. I don't get recognized a lot. Dude knocks on the door from a church. He goes, tut, tut, tut. And he opens the door. And I open the door and he just goes, you're Joel Beckman. And I like, like a week and I was like, bro, I moved here so that people can't just show up. Not that people show up, but like, it's kind of a weird, you know.
I'm surprised you don't get recognized more often with over 500,000.
I know. I don't. I mean, I do, but I don't often. It's pretty rare. Yeah.
You need the curls. The curls are always a dead giveaway.
Especially when you have long hair.
And the toque, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really? Everyone recognized you because of the hair.
Yeah.
And the conic torsos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get recognized ever. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, a lot of local people, too, which is surprising. Locals. You know, a lot of local following.
Syracuse. I never get recognized in where my facility is in that small town. Mm-hmm. I don't think I
You're once. Hated there.
Yeah, man, I'm disliked. Disliked by a lot of people. All right, guys. Hey, I'm so happy to have you on. I want to get into the kids stuff because yeah. I saw your live.
I appreciate the video idea today.
I actually,
by the way, that went up that you were
watching it a little bit.
Yeah, we were watching it. I didn't mean to cut you off. It was so good how you guys like leaned into that thing, like both of you together, just sitting there talking about it, like a real heartfelt from a man's perspective, a woman's perspective with your dogs. Like, are these like kids? How are they like kids? How are they not? It was really interesting. And props to you for like just leaning into that somewhat difficult subject. I said something on here, which you guys obviously saw. I texted Jason and was like, a little like, bro, like I thought about you in the middle of that talk. And I was just like, hey, you know, and you said the greatest thing back to me that makes me respect people. Like for some reason, a lot, cause it's how I am too. You go, bro, you can't offend me, or it's really hard to offend me.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah.
And I think that's such a mature thing to not be easily offended. I think that's a really mature thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So the kid thing, we could literally not watch the whole thing because if you ended it, I think like 10 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. It seemed. Yeah. But Kara, like, you were kind of saying something that was interesting, and you're like, my maternal instincts are a bit satiated, or they're at least, you know, I get a lot from it from having the dogs. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think just the caretaking aspect that a lot of women instinctually have within us to want to take care of something and to mother it. I get that fulfilled with these dogs. I think the fact that they are giant makes them so much more human-like. The connection I have with these dogs is much different than I've had with other dogs in my life, which is why we'll probably continue to always have this breed. But there's something that's just so human-like with them. So the caretaking aspect that may be no different than handling any other dog in terms of feeding it, walking it, taking care of its basic needs. I think because we don't have kids, we do take it to another level with how much we care for them.
Yeah.
The time and care that goes into their food. I mean, gosh, I spend raw more diet. Time preparing their raw diet than I do my own breakfast. Like yeah. I take a lot of pride in giving them these beautiful, healthy plates and taking them for a walk with me and having them look into my eyes and look at me as a leader. There's something about that does fulfill that motherly caretaker that I need. I mean, of course I do that with Jason too. I feel like I take care of him and other things in my life, of course. But for me, I don't look back and feel like I'm going to regret or feel unsatisfied as a woman with that aspect of my life. A lot of that is fulfilled with these dogs.
I agree. Plus you have two of them, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just one dog. Like it's really being fulfilled. Plus like they're a human thing. And it's not a small thing what you're saying about preparing meals. Like that is a big part of me and my wife's life. And if you're doing that with the kids, and if you're doing that with the dogs, there is something happening there. Sorry, what were you going to say, Jason?
Yeah, especially the raw diet. A lot goes into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you
just like, it's not like just scooping some kibble and there you go.
Right. Totally. It's like, it can be a long process some days.
Yeah,
totally. And the money being spent on it, that is not like you're excited about that, but there's like, right. there's like a financial dollar amount going into it where like you were putting money into this. It's just, it is kid-ish. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, to frame it up, right? The whole purpose of this was that Joel said that you cannot be a good dog trainer, right?
Right? You don't have
kids. This is the real background.
That is not what I said. You're saying it like everyone says it, which Joel said you cannot be a good dog trainer. I think I say something about a great, like you can't. Okay, now I'm on the hook with these two. I say you can't be a great dog trainer, or the person with kids is going to be a better trainer than you. But you guys, anyone can take it.
I think the person who did that video of you saying we can do this all day, they should go back in and just snip all the times that you said
there's
that
like you couldn't. Three times in my life I've said that, but I always get heat for it. All right, so you guys talked. I do want to talk about the kid thing. I think it's an interesting topic especially when you guys are on, and we have some other things for you guys. So you talked about the maternal thing. Can you kind of talk a little bit more about what you guys talked about on that live, like with us right now, just a little bit, some other topics of the kid dog thing?
Yeah,
sure.
Like we agree, like I was agreeing with you that we're not going to understand certain aspects of life not having kids, mm-hmm. right? Because we don't have that experience. But to counter that, we have experiences that a married couple with kids aren't going to have.
I saw that.
Because we can connect in a different level.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Right.
What else did we talk about in that?
I mean, we talked just like background why we chose collectively not to have children. And it wasn't that we sat down and said, you know what, we're going to have two Cane Corsos instead of kids. There was more that went into it with just like
career stuff,
career, where we were both at in our lives, Jason's health. Yeah. And also we went into this marriage a long time ago, very young, but not knowing if we wanted kids. And, you know, as a woman, the biological clock kind of puts a timeline bit there when you need to decide by. And yeah, I never got there where I was like, this is what I want and need in my life. And so, we just kind of talked more about that. We talked about the differences in having dogs over having kids.
Which is a lot of differences.
There's a lot of differences, of course.
Because even though we may say there are kids, we don't treat them like kids. You know, like some people take it too far. They're always like, babying their dogs way too much, mothering their dogs too much, coddling their dogs too much. And it just leads to, like, especially with a breed like this, like resource guarding. And that's just not a good situation to have, essentially.
Yeah. I think when people see your deal with your dogs, I don't think they see it in any way like you're treating them like kids. But I agree. And I've had dogs without kids. Bosco, my first dog, we did not have a kid when we had Bosco. And he was very much, I mean, we didn't know any different. That was the most amount of love we could possibly have. And I remember we went to Big Bear once and we had him in two jackets and a boot and booties. And then we just took it all off because he didn't need it. But I just remember thinking how much he needed that, but he didn't. Yeah. Like, and now with Prince, we're like, yeah, go run in the snow. Like, we didn't know. We treated him, you know, like a kid a little more. But Jason, I like what you said, where you said there are things that we can do that we can't do without kids. And this isn't a kid talk, but I think it's interesting to me. So I want to talk to you about it. And I was like, not that I hadn't thought that, but like I've been in kid world for 14 years. It is so true. Like you guys are cruising off. I comment on some video of yours. You guys are like in the water and like, not to say you can't do that without kids. Obviously you can, but you guys are just cruising around, like seemingly like living what I think is a really nice, like loving each other life. And I was like, man, when you have a baby, it's out of control. Like you fight with your partner. This is a case for no kids. I'm making it right now. You fight with your partner all the time because there's this frustration because you can't sleep and this new life and this craziness. Yeah. And then you two fight a lot. The two parents fight a lot. And it's really rough, right?
Yeah, parents.
Bro, you're going through it right now.
Yeah.
You're going through it right now. It's tough, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could tell by how happy they are that they don't have kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. They're so happy. And they like love each other. And they're look so into each other's eyes. And they're like loving. And I'm just, you know.
They don't have that.
This is after 25 years together.
I know. People are like, are you newlyweds? We're like, no.
Does people really say that?
We've gone on vacation and stuff together, people are like, amazing. Oh, are you newlyweds?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And like with how, you know, I don't want to bring it up, but like people get divorced and stuff all the time. Like if you, I'm not, I don't know your guys' age. I don't know if you're older than me or younger than me.
I'm 46, she's 40. I'll be 46 next month. She's 40.
Great. You're about the same age as me.
Yep.
But like I don't think that's easy to keep. Like what I see from you guys, and it seems legit, and the way they look at each other, and you even said like how I take care of him, like that is a loving, like a man kind of needs to be taken care of in many ways. And I just see, I see a lot of love there. And I don't think that's that common. And I think, just so you know, because I like to know why people like my channel and the nuance of it. Like, I think part of your guys's attractiveness is like this love kind of an authenticity for each other. So if you want a perspective of someone who's seen your videos, like that comes through, and that's a big, I think a kind of big part of your success. Yeah. And you may know that and you may not know that. I'm just telling you
that between us and same with the dog. It's like more than just, I mean, Bruce is majestic and very eye catching. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people I was recognizing is I liked my relationship with him, you know, like how I treated him and like just the relationship, that companion that everybody wants with the dog, you know, and we get that a lot. What you said with our relationship too. We hear that a lot from people, from friends and stuff. So
that's a big deal.
So they're not all bad. There's some people.
That's what I said.
Not having kids, we can focus on each other more, you know, and
it's true.
You know,
it's true. And it's important. All right. Off the kid topic. I think we
can
we
I add something or no?
You can add whatever you want.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, it's give and take. Everyone's free to do anything and travel any direction in life that they want. And I mean, I was the same way. I had pets before I had, you know, pets before I had kids. And I mean, I definitely think about things now, like from my kids' perspective. So I'm thinking about even making money. I'm thinking about it in terms of like my children and like that thing. So it changes it. Like I got skipped over somehow. So, I mean, they're definitely powerful, but ultimately I feel like I'm very much like people should have the freedom and not be judged. Not to say we're judging. A lot of this is unjust, right? But but the joke is really about the training, and that obviously there are things that you learn through parenting. And I'll even talk to Joel offline about it, or I'll be like just the way that my youngest son will act, where I'm trying, I see the dog training stuff that he's doing, and it sounds crazy to talk about it with your kid, but like reinforcing the really positive behavior and then trying to, you know, and then Joel was also saying that you're not like traditional dog trainers either, right?
No.
Like you just have dogs.
I just had dogs my whole life, you know? Always been good with dogs, you know? Always been with anybody's dog. I've always just been really good with them, you know? I've helped people train their dogs, but not like, you know, like Joel does, nothing like that, you know?
But you built a pretty big following. I didn't even know how big your following was. It's pretty big for Instagram, YouTube, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
What's your guys' channel? How do people find you guys?
So my channel is Jason Corey. Her channel is Kara Corey. Hers is about health fitness because she's a dietitian and does
Kara Corey Fit Life.
Kara Corey Fit Life. Does a lot of fitness.
Get it right, Jason.
Come on, babe.
I know I named it.
You created the channel.
I created it.
Yeah, I've seen that channel. I don't know where. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's a good channel. Yeah, you guys bring your dogs to the gym, right? A lot. Yes, not all the time, probably. Yeah.
Yep. And it's good because taking them out, as you know, it tires your dog out. So that like, if we're in a hurry to go do other stuff, that's like one thing we don't need to worry about, because the dogs have, even though they're just on a stay sitting next to us, they're focusing, you know, it's mentally stimulating to them. They're meeting people. So it tires them out. So, you know, it kind of kills two birds with one stone. If we don't bring them, people are like, where are the dogs? Not like, how are you doing? It's like, where are the dogs?
Yeah. And I'm guessing, especially at the gym, but you go to malls. I saw a video at a mall and stuff.
Yep.
Is it a constant barrage of, can I pet your dogs?
If we're on a walk in like a public place, and if we're trying to just actually walk and do it quickly, if we see people coming, even if we're not talking, we have to like talk, or if I'm alone, I have to be on the phone, because everybody will want, even if they don't know who he is, he's just so eye-catching. They're so eye-catching. They want to stop and pet the dog.
Yeah.
Which normally I don't mind, you know, but sometimes I have to say, no, I'm in a hurry, or. Right. Or if Bruce isn't feeling good, or you don't want, you know, I want him to lay low, I'll just be like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
It's tough to set those boundaries, right? Even like I was doing some weird, kind of like exercise thing where I was like, have to walk, you know, twice a day or whatever. And part of that, there's a guy who lives like on the corner, and he always wants to talk to me, and he's like really nice guy. But I'm on a walk. I'm like, it's time. Like, I need to get this done for the day. And I'm like, hey, bro. Like, and he's like, hey, like, and I'm like, bro, I got to go. Like, you know, and I feel horrible cutting people off and like,
it's hard
shutting.
Well,
them
you
down
should
like
because bro, no one talks to you that much. Like, imagine them. Like, it's 10x of what you do.
Usually people see me and they'll just cross the street.
Yeah, they go the other way,
right? If they're smart, I also have a question for you guys, because it sounds like you guys have a great relationship, and I am inquiring as a you know, what can I learn from this couple? Right.
There you go.
So, oh my goodness, you know, pressure. As somebody that's been married for, I don't know how many years and has, you know, two small children and one older one, what's your guys' advice to a couple of old timers as far as like how to make sure that you're keeping enough, you know, focused on the relationship, right? Like what would be your advice to us to make sure that we have healthy,
yeah,
like, you know, husband wife relationship, if that's not too personal for you guys?
No.
I mean, I guess it would depend on what you're able to do, but I would think it would be important to still have your time with your wife away from your children if you're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Totally. I'm sure it sounds easy to do in theory, but it's probably hard. And I know people miss their kids the second they're away from them, but still being able to connect in that time, just one-on-one alone and just talking with each other and just checking in with each other a bit more. Even if you can't get away from your kids, just checking in with each other throughout the day, seeing how they're doing.
Being so straightforward and honest.
Yeah.
I'm a very straightforward person.
Very direct.
I think that's why I was so drawn to your channel, Joel, because you tell people what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And that's me.
Don't sugarcoat it.
I don't time my life. I just straightforward.
Yeah. Dude, Kara, that's great advice. I mean, with this podcast, if you've seen it, and I think you have, like we go off all topics. So it's not just dogs topics. That is such, I don't know. Maybe I don't meet that many people that I'm impressed with, but like, it's just an impressive answer. You're all spend time. Like me and my wife have been doing that a lot more. We just sit on the couch and we just talk about like deep issues. You get out of this deep issues phase, like maybe when you're dating, you're into it, then you have kids. Yeah. And literally it was like years before when we didn't just talk about deep things and like personal things. And then we got back into it. And it's so rewarding and amazing. And that's, I know I give you guys a lot of props, but like, it's just an impressive thing to be able to say that right off the bat. Like if you were to ask me, okay, well, Joel, give me some marital advice. Like I'd be like, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know.
We already know your answer.
And I feel like our relationship's changed since last year. She's been done. She quit her job. She was the CFO of a hospital. She quit a year ago. So she's been working from home the past year. I've been working from home on my own without a job, 3 years to the day today. So the past year, I feel like our relationship's even like gotten better.
Yeah.
Because like you said, things just turn into small talk all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at work all day, then you come home and you have kids, it's just like, oh, how was your day? It's like the same conversation over and over.
You know?
Yeah. And totally. You know, you need those deeper conversations, those real conversations for sure.
Do you like working from home?
Oh, I love it. I've been working from home, 3 years with a job? Then I quit. So 3 years on my own. So I've been like 6 years now on my own.
Yeah.
Or six years at home. I prefer it.
Yeah. I'm never going back to the office ever again.
Just even the drive time, you just save so much time. I could never work for someone again. Especially being on my own, I could never work for someone again.
Yeah. No. It's too much. I mean, I was driving 45 minutes each way. And then just grinding it out at like a corporate gig. And then I would like her. And then drive my daughter to jiu-jitsu with me. And like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. We're getting home. And then after COVID, it like changed everything.
Nothing left to give after that.
No, did you watch 300? Eric, do you watch UFC 300?
Of course I did. You know, what's funny is
the last second, Max.
Well, you know, what's so great is so I was watching it with my buddy, Cody. And then he had to drop some videos off for a program that we're running and the Beckman coaching program. And so he cruises over and he comes in like right at the perfect time for Max. And then I'm like, hey, we got some pizza here, bro. And then he's like, all right, let me get some pizza. So he sits down, he watches the greatest fight in history, like at the perfect time.
And yeah, we're big MMA fans. So
who are you guys rooting for? Not to, maybe you didn't care.
Fight, I didn't care because we're fans of both of them.
Yeah.
I just wanted a good fight.
I wanted Gaethje just because I don't know why I like Gaethje more than Holloway.
I wanted Gaethje,
and then when I knew his nose was broke, I was rooting for him even more because I felt like if you could pull this out after getting your nose broke like that. But
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I told Joel like because Max Holloway, because my dad lives in Maui, and so we have we love Hawaii, and so like I actually. In 2000, whatever, whenever it was, when he won against Jose Aldo, we actually were like in a parade, and Max Holloway was on the back of it while we were there. It was just like super cool. So I've always loved that guy, but they're all studs. That whole event was just amazing. And like, it's fun to see like Dana White and all that stuff. So yeah, we were pumped. It was like Super Bowl for us.
It was such a good night of fights. Even the like all the fights actually. Yeah, we watched all the
early prelims.
Yeah, it was stacked. That card was stacked.
You guys are big fans. Hey, can I ask you about Justice? Because he's right there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Yeah. Okay. So you brought him home a year and a half ago, 2 years, whatever it was. Can you talk to the people about your process for walking in the house with a dog and that whole thing?
Yeah. So I knew how Bruce was going to act because I knew him very well. We socialized him with other dogs at doggy daycare from a puppy on. So we knew he's good with dogs, but he was a dog that didn't like puppies, and not as in he didn't like them. He's going to go after them. He's just like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. You're in my face. I just don't want to be in the other room.
Yeah.
So, I had Justice here. Bruce was at daycare because we had to drive a few hours to get him to get Justice in this crazy snowstorm. It was a mess. We almost died. There was a Big Mac truck in front of us, it was an ice storm, a cinder block of ice shattered our window. So it was like a 6 hour drive, right, not being able to see.
It's insane. It came off a truck. It came off the truck and broke the window. Wow.
Yeah.
So we get home with Justice. I got him settled in, just let him like explore the house. And she went and picked up Bruce. And I just basically let Bruce come in, smell. Actually, she held the puppy. I let him smell the puppy.
I like that move.
Yep. Smell him all around and stuff, put him down. And then Bruce was like, all right, I'm going to go into the room. I don't want to be by him now.
Yeah.
That's so fair. My goal wasn't even so much to train Justice. It was to train Bruce to understand his new life and to understand that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
We're like, this is your puppy.
Yeah. Cause I wanted, this is the first time we've ever had two dogs. Yeah. I've never owned two dogs in my life at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I wanted Justice to essentially enhance Bruce's life. We also wanted a second dog as well. So everything I would do with Bruce and Justice, like I'd play with them together. I'd make everything like super fun and happy for Bruce. I'd make everything physically feel good. Like I'd be playing tug of war and I'd be massaging Bruce's ears because he really likes his ears massaged. Just I'd go on social outings with Bruce and make sure like he's the center of attention and he's still the star.
That's good.
And even to this day, we really keep pack hierarchy in order. Bruce gets everything first. If I wake up in the morning, he's still on the couch. Justice comes up to me. I walk past Justice just to give Bruce a quick pet. Then I'll pet Justice. Bruce will go out first. Bruce comes in first. They can be fed together, but Bruce gets handed his plate first. Bruce gets a treat first. Bruce first. Mm. And that's just to keep the hierarchy intact. That way there's no competition, if that makes sense. Because I'm not stupid. Fights can happen. Brothers fight. People fight. So I'm trying to, obviously, I don't want that to happen. So that's just how we do things, and it's working out well so far. It took about 2 weeks for Bruce to finally be like, hey, I like this little guy now.
Yeah.
Started like not separating himself as much. He'd go in the bedroom and eventually I'm like, all right, you had a week separating yourself.
Yeah.
Time to start, you know, pulling off that band-aid. I'd shut the bedroom door and make him be out in the living room with us, for example.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Otherwise you end up getting like a Joffrey situation where you're like, if you start spoiling the young one, right, then like you create a monster and you don't want, right?
Yeah, no, it's kind of common sense. I think what you said, it is not done that well. Generally speaking, I get so many calls about the younger dog now fighting the older dog and all this stuff. And I'm always like, that older dog, like he didn't ask for that puppy to come into your life. And I don't say it like this to clients, like you're letting that dog do that to that older dog, but I have to get it through. Like you can't let that younger dog ruin, you know, be all over that older dog and be doing this. And I'm a big fan. One thing you said that I'm a big fan of, and that is coming in with the younger dog, because there's just an association thing with it. Like if you're holding it, like this thing's a part of me, like it's now a part of us dog, you know, to the dog. And like, we love this thing. It's not more important than you, but it's associate. It's, I love this, you know, it's actually the way I say so people come on with babies too, is there, you know, where the dog goes like, oh, mommy loves that thing. I didn't know. And once they know mommy loves that thing, daddy loves that thing, then you're starting off right. If they don't know that, it's a problem, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan
of
that.
And it was a really interesting thing, because what really, really changed the relationship was we brought them to doggy daycare together.
Oh.
They came home and the relationship was different. Bruce is like, oh, I get, he comes too, this, to this fun place.
Right. He's part of this.
And it was really interesting watching their relationship change. And even to this day, it's still changing. Like,
it does.
Like the past year, Bruce cuddles Justice now. He'll like cuddle up and like lay into him and all the time, which for the first year he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, they always play and stuff. But as Justice gets older, Bruce is more loving towards him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people too get a second dog without considering that first dog.
Yeah.
Like I really knew Bruce and how he was with dogs and how much he enjoyed going to daycare. So obviously you're always taking a chance, right? You never 100% know, but I was assuming it would really enhance his life, which it totally did. I feel like it gave Bruce a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like sometimes people don't really consider that, you know, they don't have a dog that's good with other dogs and they get another dog and they're wondering why they're fighting or, you know.
Yeah. Do you find with two unneutered, big, strong males, which is, in my opinion, easier than females, two females at times, I think two not intact males would be second to that. And then you have from there, you know, the best is probably male, female. That's probably the easiest. But do you find that you guys are going through life and you are actually having to sometimes go, I need to, for lack of a better term, assert my dominance. Okay. We're just going to say that term. Okay. Or are you just like, No. We just live our life and we act a certain way as owners and everything's cool. Or are you guys sometimes like, no, you need to grab him and you need to sit his butt down and he needs to know.
Oh, yeah. Like we're very like straightforward. We don't let our dogs do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're playing,
because
they're obviously huge. So we have 300 pounds of dog here. So when they're playing, even if I feel like it's getting too competitive, I'll stop it.
Yeah.
And it's just like a tone you hear, like you can, it gets a little bit deeper maybe because they're just going too hard. But yeah, we don't let them get away with anything.
You have to keep in mind the age difference between them. It's close to 5 years. So the energy difference between what Justice brings to the table versus what Bruce can reciprocate is on a different level. So we always have to keep that in mind too. And Justice will just keep going sometimes, whereas Bruce is like, no, I'm done.
And Justice will respect Bruce. Bruce, you will never see lay down when they're playing. Bruce will always win. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, sometimes if they're out back playing, all of a sudden I'll see Justice on his back like this. I'm like, oh, he must have been being a jerk. And Bruce doesn't even have to like do anything. He'll just like stare at him.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of video footage of this. He'll just stare at him and Justice will just like lay down and like flap over.
Give him his belly.
It's really incredible thing to see.
Yeah. How old is Justice?
He's 2.5. Yeah.
Okay. So you've gotten through that 2 year. I believe there's like one, then there's 1.5, then there's two. And it'll my guess is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mentally mature in about a year. These guys are a little bit slower. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
he'll be full grown in about a year.
Full grown.
His head won't be full grown until he's about 5.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, that. Bruce's head That's from crazy. 4 to 5 is crazy different.
That's crazy. With the intact and I guess it just keeps growing, which is what you want. So you've already gotten through, I think, although maybe it's different. That time where, and I don't think you're worried about it in any way, nor should you be. But worried about like at some point Justice like trying to flip the thing, and I don't want to, you know, make too much of it because it just sometimes it just doesn't happen. But we're over that. We're at the point where we're kind of smooth sailing, I think. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. And even like Justice isn't allowed on the couch, Bruce is. So like we even have like separation so Bruce can go on the couch, Justice can't.
So you're almost like proactive about it a little bit.
We're super proactive. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's
You're good. Like reinforcing. And
I have bear spray in case they ever do fight and I can't break it up. Just not that I ever hope I need it, but I rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it,
bro.
You know, we try to cover all our bases. You know,
you're the
and
only
they get along so good. So,
yeah, you're the only human being I've ever heard of besides me. I'm not saying people don't do this, but I'll sit with a client and their dogs are trying to kill each other and I'm trying to help them. And I go, and you should have pepper spray. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like there it's yeah, a last resort. Yeah. You'd lose your finger. I had a client. He lost his thumb 2 weeks ago. He lost half his pinky Ooh. And half his thumb with wow. a fox terrier that freaking fighting with the other dog. Yeah, no, there's big stakes here. And so yeah. I don't recommend anything all the time.
We got banned.
Oh yeah, we got YouTube demonetized a video because I said I was joking. I don't even know if I can say it on this podcast. I said if a dog comes out to attack my dog or a dog I'm training, I would you know what to the dog. And then I jokingly said if the owner comes out and has a problem with me doing that to the dog, I told the owner, yeah, I'm going to do that to you if you don't get back in your house. And YouTube totally demonetized.
I mean the same exact way. Yes.
Yeah. And YouTube demonetized the video for like.
You got a strike, I think, too.
I got a strike.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like still there.
Can you believe that?
Are you serious? The stuff that's on YouTube?
I know.
That's the one thing I have a hard time with about like. I don't get like mad, but it's annoying. Like the.
Yeah.
The people are just so soft. And yeah. you can't always be so soft with everything. It just life isn't like that. Life doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's consequences to things.
Totally.
You're talking say that crazy, YouTube, Jason.
People get all upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No wonder you like Joel's channel so much.
I know. The second Jason showed me Joel's channel, I was like, okay, this guy is identical to you. This makes total
that's
sense.
Funny. Like, that's funny.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, good. Okay, I see why you like this guy. Because it's kind of... And it helped validate for me all this stuff, you know,
that was always telling
you told me to do, because if you know the story, I didn't want this breed because I was too scared. So I let Jason lead the way the entire time with training.
Yeah, because I wanted one for like 9 years prior to getting Bruce when our English Bulldog passed is when we got him.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know you want that breed. Didn't want that breed. Yeah, I think my wife would kind of be the same. If I was like, I want to get a Conning Corso. I don't think she'd be down. And she's a great trainer, former SeaWorld trainer, all that good stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't think she'd be too down. I'd have to talk her into it for sure.
So Jason,
this is actually why I started the channel, because I wanted to like the dog was so demonized, the breed. I wanted to take that away.
Yeah, because I had a friend that was a vet tech, and when I told her, I'm like, yeah, Jason's thinking we should get a Conning Corso. She was like, don't get a Conning Corso. They eat people. They kill people. You should get a pit bull. And I'm like, okay.
Pit bulls do a lot more than...
All right. So yeah. That was coming from a friend who was a vet tech and, you know, for several years. And
just uneducated comment, you know.
Yeah, Kara, if you've watched this podcast, which I do not expect you to watch a lot of it,
there's a lot of them,
but like we've talked about, I think probably doctors before, but you've had like multiple, like that story about you're like, I don't want to have kids. And the doctor like took a step back. Like that's crazy. That's crazy. And like weird. And like, bro,
right?
Like what you got a problem with that? Like this makes no sense.
Right.
It's the silliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's sure never wrong. Either.
Saying I never went back to that doctor again. So
yeah, we had, I don't want to get into it. I told you that story about we took our daughter to the doctor, and it's just the industry is just really weird. And like,
the healthcare industry is broken.
It's broken, right?
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, that's a big reason why I wanted to get out of it, even though I was working in a different, you know, I was working in finance, but it's not good.
It's not good. It is not.
We have a lot of doctor horror stories too.
Oh, really?
I have Lyme disease. So it was like years and years and years of either being misdiagnosed. Like doctors tell me I have MS. I'm like, I don't have MS. Mm-hmm. Lupus. I don't have lupus. Or go see a psychiatrist. You're making everything up in your head, you know? So definitely broken.
Did you know that Jim Miller has Lyme disease?
I do. Yeah. That's what I was really rooting for him too.
Yeah, he's a stud. I didn't really know a ton about Lyme disease or about how potentially bad it can be until I heard his story and all the effects that it had on him. And
that's actually why I quit my job and just started doing my own thing. I just couldn't handle everything. Healthcare,
It's really impactful, huh?
Yeah, completely. But it was actually like a blessing finding out, because instead of like literally 12 years of going to the doctor, it was almost a relief because now I know what to kind of target and kind of at least try to keep it in remission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Because a lot of the symptoms don't make sense. Like, yeah. Just like, they sound like a crazy person talking, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard that. And the people the few people I know that have it, they have that story too, is they just, they never
get tired. I can wake up one day feeling fine and 6 hours later just feel like death.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It just affects a lot of parts of your body, I think. I mean, I don't know a lot about it.
And it's real bad out there, right? In like the,
it's really bad around here.
Northeast.
Yeah. We talked about that. We talked about that on the podcast about these deer ticks. And I'm not an expert. I think that's where it comes from, but I don't know. And I'm like, there's freaking deer everywhere. Like, why aren't the governments doing anything about the deer only because of the deer ticks? And now maybe that just isn't going to work. Okay. And I'm not saying get rid of deer, but you think maybe you lessen them. Maybe we lessen the ticks. Maybe we lessen the Lyme disease. This thing's affecting people hardcore. And like, I'm not saying there's an answer to it, but there's deer everywhere. I'm from Oregon. There's deer everywhere. They are over the place. Yeah. And I'm just like, there's too many of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. There's a lot of them. Like,
there's like 40, 50. We'll see the time sometimes, like across the street, there'll be like herds of them sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we live out the country.
Yeah, I bet. And I'm all for it. But like, if it's affecting people's health, like maybe we think about something.
We need sick people now.
Yeah, I think
we need sick people. So
you hear what she said?
She's
on our page.
So. Yeah, I think there's something.
I'm one of those. So
yeah, there's something to it. I think there is something to do it with the amount of like dryness. It's hard for some of the ticks to survive in the drier climates, I think.
Right.
Because they don't seem to have as big of a problem on the western side, especially as like hunting and stuff it's like also, that.
Yeah, big trees and
they seem not to do. And I think they like live a lot in the like grasslands, right? Up in that area where if you're walking in a field, like you don't want to have your legs open. Whereas here you would do that.
Last summer, we came back from a walk. Justice had 10 ticks on him. Mm-hmm. Bruce had like 6 on him. Yep.
I had one on me.
She had one on her.
Yeah.
We have to, if we go for a walk, it's like, okay, you got to use like this tick mitt and a flea comb and all the things.
I'm practically a mom over here. I have to comb them after a walk. I have to do preventative care. It's a whole thing.
True. I don't want to get into it, but I mean, that's out of control. Like you're just walking in nature and that's happening. And I'm not saying it's easy for the state of New York or the federal government or the county. I'm not saying any of this is easy, but I'm saying it's time to try to get a hand. That is affecting families so much. And that's
the
horrible.
CDC doesn't even recognize chronic Lyme disease. They think you can just take 2 weeks of antibiotics and you're good, which you can if you catch it right away.
Right.
Now, they don't know when I got it. The doctor thinks I've had it since I was about 8 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't find out till a few years ago what it really was. So obviously, it's just trying to keep it in remission. Antibiotics isn't going to get rid of it. I went on a 6 or 8 month course of antibiotics. It was like three at one time. IV antibiotics. It was rough.
That is.
Are you from New York? Like, did you grow up?
Yeah, we're from like northern New York, as far up at the top of the state as you can go. Like right on the border of Canada is where we're both from. We're from the same town.
What's a big town here?
Together growing up.
You worked where?
At a movie theater together growing up. That's where we met.
Look how far you guys have come.
Yeah.
What'd
you ask them?
I was just asking, like, what's the nearest like town or big city that would be near where you guys are from?
Where we're from?
Yeah.
Watertown, which is about an hour. Syracuse is the biggest city.
Okay. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Which is 3 hours away.
Syracuse's snow is like, I don't think my compadre over here can understand like how gnarly those winters are, right? They're about
where we're from is even worse.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
3 hours north.
We're actually
3 hours north
of Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
If you know Montreal.
If you know where Montreal is, where we're from, Messina, New York, Montreal is about an hour and a half away.
Oh wow.
You guys are 3 hours away from Syracuse? Like you guys are out there. You're kind of
we're in Syracuse now where we grew up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you guys were in a small town.
Yeah, it's very small town.
All right. Can I ask him a question?
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. I've been trying to get Joel to get a second dog as we, you know, Prince is still in his heyday, right? I mean, he's still a champion, but we do have to think about the future and the helper dogs.
Reason we got Justice,
channel. Yeah. Mm. So we think about this. And so can you guys give him a pitch on why he should get a Cane Corso?
Oh, a Cane Corso.
I'm not.
I want him to get one.
I'm like the Doberman guy. Like, I didn't plan it. He's but like I'm yeah. that guy now.
Just Cane, like something about a Cane Corso. I mean, I don't want to say Mastiff breeds because English Mastiffs love them, but they're not the most intelligent. Mm-hmm. There's just something about Cane Corsos that's just so human-like, the way they communicate. They're just so intelligent. And not the kind of intelligence like my dog can do tricks, but the way they communicate with you. Mm-hmm. And the first time I noticed it, it was really hot in the house and Bruce was laying underneath the ceiling fan. I shut it off, sat down, and Bruce looked at me and looked up. And looked at me and looked up. I'm like, does he tell me to turn the fan back on? And he did it again. I turned the fan on and he laid back down. And just that's the way wild. They communicate, it's just different.
He does that a lot.
I've had Nikita before. I grew up with a hound dog. And it, just something different about a Cane Corso. They're just, their intelligence is just different. I don't want to say they're smarter than another breed. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And because, like she was saying, they're so giant. There's something about a giant breed dog that just adds that extra element of like humanism to a dog.
Yeah.
The way they love you. They're just a very loving breed as well.
Yeah.
They're just, I think it's the only breed I'm probably ever going to have. When we got Bruce, I'm like, probably the only breed I'm going to have now.
Yeah, I believe that. I was watching you guys' live a little bit ago, and there was this moment where they were both sitting like in front of you guys. You guys are just talking away, and they both had their head down, and you called it on one of your videos, Jason, like an Eeyore thing.
Yes.
Yep. And they were doing it perfectly together. And they were it was like the exact thing. And it was almost like a weird move, like they had fallen asleep, which I don't think they had, but they were just they were perfectly together. And it was kind of an odd thing to sit like
they're so in sync. It's crazy. Like the things they do at the same exact time. They're just so in sync. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
I actually have videos up when we got Justice. I have it's called New Puppy Playlist. And it's like actually me going to get Justice and introducing Justice to Bruce.
To what?
Actually, in video, I have a video on a playlist, New Puppy Playlist.
Yeah.
Of me introducing Justice to Bruce, all of actually in real time. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's awesome.
Do you think that you know Joel's whole shtick with the helper dog, right? Like, do you think a Cane Corso would be a good helper dog for other dogs?
Yeah. Like, long as you pick out the proper puppy. Yeah. Bruce is great at correcting dogs and not overstepping his boundaries. They'll start with maybe like a low growl, a louder growl, a bark. And then like a snap, or he'll put his head and shove the dog down to correct them. Mm. He won't go.
He's very patient. He gets a lot of warnings.
Now, I've Justice seen it. Justice is more reactive because three times he was attacked by dogs that were off leash when he was a puppy. Mm. So it's like, now he doesn't trust the other dogs.
Yeah, I mean, my Bosco was his different kind of dog, and then Prince is a different. They're very different. They do similar stuff, but it's quite different. I have one more thing, and then we're gonna let you guys go. So I saw a video of Bruce. You're cruising. Dog comes up, and the dog like jumps on Bruce Wayne, and he's just like, "Get off me, dude!" And then like the lady keeps going. It was quite impressive. Yeah, you know the video I'm talking about? Yeah,
Bruce is off leash. Yep.
Yeah. And he's just like, get out of here, dude. I will whoop your behind.
Bruce's confidence is so high. I've had him on a walk and at Green Lakes, a place where we go walk. I've had a pit bull, somebody walking, lunges and snaps at him. And Bruce will just like barely, he doesn't even like jump away. He's like, you're not going to do anything to me, dude.
He just kind of keeps walking.
He's just like, whatever.
He's so confident.
He's very confident. Yeah.
Like that's good. Yeah. And that is, as I say about like Bosco, like I trained him. I try to give Bosco more credit because he kind of invented what I do with dogs with this one random session in Point Loma. And I saw him do this main thing. I hadn't trained him to do it. So it like started really good, but then I did raise him. But I'll tell you guys, like, it's a two-parter. Like, he's good. He's been good. But the way you guys run your life and you care for them and you do your thing and you have these rules about feeding and all that. Like, you've also created him to be him. I think you guys have a role in it in the same way parents would have a role in their kids, even though their kids are born a certain way. We have a role. And so I want to give props to you guys for having good dogs, you know, because the proof's in the pudding and they're good. And that's in part because of you, in the same way it's in part because of me with Prince. And so,
appreciate that.
Good job. Thank you guys for being on. I really appreciate it.
And, loved it. Thank you.
You guys are fun.
Maybe we'll see you again soon. Hopefully we'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
See us in person. Drive like a van
out
here.
We want to. That sounds like we should do this in person. Well, you should do this in person. I'm just third wheel in here, or fourth. I don't know.
You're never a third wheel.
I'm the third wheel. Okay.
If you guys come out, we can do stuff. We can have fun. And we can do the podcast. Just a little added thing for you too, whether you drive or you fly, just let us know, okay?
I will for sure.
Okay. Thank you guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
See you guys. That was awesome, huh?
Yeah. Bruce says bye. It's back there snoring.
Bro, you almost hit the ban from studio button.
I know. That would have been bad.
Let's not ban them.
That was good, huh? I like those guys.
They're great. You know how you just, and I think maybe people see this in my videos or something, like you see enough videos or, you know, and you just go, I like this person or I hate this person. And you maybe don't know why. Like, I just watch their videos and I'm like, I like them as human beings because they're authentic and it just comes through. Things come through on video less than in real life, but long form video like YouTube, not some cute TikTok-y thing. Their personality comes through.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that with TikTok and Instagram and stuff. That, like, that long form YouTube video stuff, like the connection that you really build with your audience is so much different than a 15-second TikTok. And just like shorts are a really great way to build a big YouTube brand, but there's just that you don't have that connection. Like, I'd rather have 200 subscribers on like a long form video content than 1,000 shorts. They just don't know you. And like, they built this like strong following in it.
It's way more powerful.
Yeah. But Condé Corsairs are cool, man. They're cool animals.
Yeah.
People love them.
That's a crazy story. And he's telling the truth, right? He's just being honest. He's probably, you know, maybe he's not even like, he doesn't even wish it was that way. Maybe like to be, he's just like, Bruce is the reason. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. That dog is pretty beefy.
I guess if Doberman started to blow up, Prince would be the reason.
They're
more.
Yeah,
I don't know who else.
If out of nowhere they came back,
but that hasn't happened. Why it happened with the Condé Corso?
But Dobermans don't look like a Condé Corso. Like Condé Corsos, if you see them on the street, are going to like stop traffic.
Dobermans on the street are going to stop traffic.
You think? You're like biased though, bro.
Bro, a bigger Doberman than Prince.
Yeah,
100-pound Doberman is a sight to see. We've talked about this. But here's the problem.
I want him to do performance enhancing.
No, I'll tell you the problem though.
Hmm.
Doing the ears. It's a pain in the butt. No one wants to do it.
Yeah.
So if you let them flop, they're not a Doberman really. I mean, they are, but they're not a Doberman.
They're not the AKC standard, right?
Right. And so they're not as impressive. No one wants to do those ears, including me.
Yeah.
I don't know if the breed ever comes back in that way because it's more work to own one than a Rottweiler. So mine as well just get a Rottweiler.
Don't the Condé Corsos have cropped ears?
Yeah,
too?
But I never even remembered. Like, I don't know if his dogs did or not.
I don't even know.
Look at it. Don't even bring it up. It's like the worst thing. It's not the worst thing. It's like people are like, oh my God. Like, oh, you don't like tail docking, but your kid's circumcised? Like, what? What is that, dude? Like, be consistent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would tend to think that, you know, I didn't remember whether they were cropped or not, but it looked croppedish to me as I go through.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Yeah,
Dobermans were, and like, it's not a big deal. I know it's not a big deal.
It is a pain in the butt from a management standpoint, right?
Yeah, no, it's pain in the butt, but it's like, oh, okay, you don't like cropped ears. You think this affects their behavior? Hey, look at Bruce Wayne. Why'd I say David Justice? Oh, because of Justice. I trained David Justice's dogs, by the way. But look at Bruce Wayne and look at Prince. You think it affects... We have two of the best dogs on the internet. Both their ears are cropped. And Bosco. And Justice. Doesn't affect them behaviorally.
No.
I got like a I got a problem with some
of these people out there. But everyone thinks that you... People think that you did it. Like you took them out and did it.
They think I performed the thing.
Yeah. But you adopted them. They already had it, right?
Yeah. But I would have probably done it anyway.
Would you?
Yeah.
Probably not now, though.
Honestly, I'm weak, dude. I'm too weak, man. I in my old age, I'm like, oh, and do it because I don't want to hear about it, which is weak. And you told me years ago, you go, F them. Just do it.
Is that my spiritual advice?
Yeah. And which is the right advice, you know? Which is the absolute right advice.
Yeah. I mean,
The haters.
Yeah.
F these guys. I'm on Instagram.
Speaking of haters.
Speaking of freaking haters, dude. Instagram's the worst, dude. I'll put great videos. My Instagram is like, got a lot of views, dude. On my last five videos are like average 300,000 views for a short, you know, a reel. But like people, dude, it's like random, not half. Okay. 1/100th, but those are the ones I read. They're like, this, you know, they just complain. And I'm like, who do you think you are? Like, mm-hmm. You're some dude with a closed account and you're acting like some sage dog trainer.
Yeah.
And I know you're not. Like, I can see your picture. You're the biggest loser I've ever seen. I've trained 5-10,000 dogs. Like, I just posted one of this old lady and I'm like, hey, you got to walk into your dog and jump. They're like, why is this guy not? She needs to turn her back on the dog.
No, like, the unsolicited advice on
it is crazy.
It's such amateur hour too. And then it's
crazy.
I always think about these like CEOs like Elon Musk, and even like I saw Mark Zuckerberg at the UFC. He was like hanging out with Dana White, but Dana White's a great example too. Like,
yeah.
Do you think these guys are in their comments just reading all the negative hate about him? Like,
no.
You gotta eventually be like, who are the goofballs that are in the comments? And like, we're not the same person. Like, you're not in everyone's you're not in Jason's comments just like blah 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 blah. Like, come on, dude. This is insane.
It's insane. And no, Dana White is not. Dana White also has 20x everything I have.
And he has a life.
So he literally can't. He has a life.
Yeah, I mean, he has a life like we do, but I'm saying like, he's just, you have to eventually detach, just like Rogan said.
I'm actually almost there.
What did Rogan say?
Post and ghost. I'm actually close to there. It was fun for a long time, like going back at the haters, like years. It was years of fun and sometimes of like, it bothered me, like, but it was mainly fun. It's not fun anymore only because it's like, that there's no point anymore. Like, yeah, there was a point at one time to go back at them and just be like, dude, here's your problem. Like, I looked at your page and you're like, I like to humble them, but that's not fun anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you can only do it so many times before you're like, why am I arguing with these people?
I know.
I think they say, the ignorance is just as dangerous as the intelligence.
Can I tell you a story? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, I've never heard that. You bring up all these things that I've never heard.
Yeah.
I have this guy who on Facebook years ago, I went to high school with him. He's like this bigwig at Google, like lives in, you know, northern, whatever, outside
like
of
Silicon Valley.
Yeah. He's like bigwig. I went to high school with him. Then I went to school with this girl who's like half not mentally there. Hmm. Like, she's a normal person, but she's really not. I posted something on Facebook that was kind of controversial. Him and her were going back at it. And he's like treating her like, he's like, well, think about this. And she's like, no. And I'm like, to the guy, I wanted to say like, bro, you're arguing with like a mentally ill person who doesn't even understand anything. He's like going back, and I know who these people are. And it's like the funniest thing to me.
It's like
that he did that.
A wise man says, don't argue with fools because people from a distance can't tell who is who, right?
Oh, another one.
Yeah, that's a Jay-Z
line. But isn't that kind of funny? My story, like,
no, it's in.
He's he has no idea who she is because it's online. She's not even right in the head. He's a Google executive, like a very smart, good man.
Well, I mean, this is like, we talked before the podcast about this kind of like executive situation of like running businesses and being where we're at, like in business, that like, we need to be the more mature person and like not engage in like pity, like, or very like not pity, but petty, like arguing and stuff like that. Like, you have this platform to like say, like to help teach people how to train their dog in an effective way. And like, your time is not best spent in the comments. like barking at people.
That's very true. Like it's a time manager.
I know he didn't know that, but it isn't.
Okay, that's very true. It's not good for a lot of reasons. However, didn't you tell me about who's the best jiu-jitsuer in the world? What's that guy's
Gordon
name?
Ryan.
Gordon Ryan. Didn't you tell me years ago, you're like, I like, and I'm not saying doing this because you told me this. I also see this online and I go, good. Yeah. Like Tom Brady, like telling somebody what's up is like.
Kelly Slater.
It's great. Didn't you say Gordon Ryan just goes at people all the time?
He's the king of trolls. Like he doesn't stop.
Okay. I love it. Like yeah. I don't want to just disappear and be like, and people go to my comments and like, trash me and like Joel never responds.
No, but you're missing the point. It's still posting ghosts. You can maybe read it, but you still got to hit him with the like game changer. Like they say something and then you hit him with that like two liner that just destroys them
in the comments.
But yeah, but then you got to dip. Oh. You don't just keep going. Well,
posting would be the original
post. I know. I'm stretching it, but still like don't be going back and forth with someone 47 times. Like they really should. I mean, you've got a whole platform to communicate with people. You don't need to be in the comments, and it's not very efficient, right? Because there's only so many people reading that particular post.
It's very inefficient.
Yeah, we don't want to be doing anything inefficient. Speaking of efficiency, right?
Oh,
I do want to talk about something that's very efficiency, which is efficient, which is the Beckman coaching program.
Oh, right?
Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. I'm in the middle of it.
So tell me what it is.
It is a program to become a high level black belt dog trainer. Our goal, and we are deep into this goal, and we talk about this goal, is to send dog trainers out in the world that change dog training, mm-hmm. right? And they're getting all these videos that I believe are kind of next level and unique, and business and social media and helper dog and how to deal with these difficult situations
like aggression
in the world, like aggression and fear and reactivity. And we do lives for we're doing weekly lives for them.
Right now it's pretty heavy.
It's pretty
who
heavy
knows
on
what
lives.
It'll be, but
and they have a whole community section, and they're posting videos and talking and messaging me, and it's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy, and there's a lot of people doing it.
But these are some they're
good people,
and they're built differently, right? These
RBB,
people, yeah,
Beckman coaching program people they're built different.
I think so.
Yeah,
you could just tell they're just like, because there's a lot of people like, I want to be a dog trainer. And then these people are like, no, I'm going to be one. And so one of the pitches we've had since this podcast, or, you know, midway through this podcast, is about if you are interested in being a dog trainer, a real like badass dog trainer, right?
Yeah.
Is you email beckmanventures@gmail.com.
I'll put it in the description.
Drop that in the description. Yeah. Tell us why you want to be a trainer and what your background is with dogs. And we will talk to you about it and see if you're right for the program. And and so anyways, beckmanventures@gmail.com probably be a good place to start. But yeah, it's been a blast. But I think that when these folks do graduate, which it's a long program, when they do graduate, these people are going to take a piece out of anybody in the game as far as knowledge and like actual real world. We even tell people like
they're going to be different.
Yeah, it's like you got to like apply like real world hands-on actual dog, like you always talk about hands-on dogs, like you need to get your hands on a lot of dogs. You can't just like theoretically understand
stuff. And they're doing that, but the stuff I'm giving them in the videos and in other ways is like just my brain and my thinking is just being poured out, and it's still early, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm just basically, nothing's being held back, like every method, mm-hmm. every thinking, the way I am with clients, the way I am with social media, the way you are with business and you are understand of social media, we're giving it to them. And I hope in easily understandable ways.
Yeah.
And then they just have to go out and do it.
Yeah. Uncut. Like we're not trying to be like, oh, well, don't give them this trick we found about YouTube that has worked well for us, like to get more people clicking. Like we're just like, hey, do what you can, but what better way to help people through these different of learning what we've learned from business and also through social media is to help people that are actually trying to grow dog businesses, which is actually, it's not like something we're teaching you how to like open up a McDonald's franchise. We're like talking about something that, you know very well. And I know just have been being alongside with you for the last, 7 to 10 years or whatever, metric you use to determine that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like we're talking about something we don't know about.
No, we know about it.
Yeah. Through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, I'd say.
We know about it. And we're going to create some serious
savages
to go out into the world and change this deal. I hope change this kind of broken system of dog training. Maybe not broken, but it's tough to find a good dog trainer.
It's not doing well. It's on life support, I think. I mean, there's some solid people out there, but there's a lot of confusion out there on how to actually fix a dog properly and in a reasonable time for not $1 billion.
And there's good people out there. They're hard to find. I need a car mechanic. That's not easy to find, let alone I need a dog trainer.
Yeah.
Something as non-straightforward as dog training, you know?
And next week we're going to have another probably interesting, popular
guest
as well. And we might keep some of these things rolling because I'm having a lot of fun talking to these different people.
Yeah. I like talking to them.
Yeah. It's fun. And so Garrett, we talked to him a few weeks ago or months ago and he is a blast. So I'm excited to get to talk to more people.
All right. Let's on the pod. Let's do it. I've been invited on 2 podcasts now. I might go do them soon.
Yeah.
One in Syracuse or one up by him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Man,
this kind of, I know his name, but
can you teleport there or do you have to like fly?
I got to fly, but bro, people fly like business all the time. I just never fly anywhere, but like people are like, yeah, I went there for 2 days and I'm always like, maybe it's cause I have kids.
It's so hard though.
Is it?
Well, I mean, just like being gone for 2 days is like, if you don't have anything to do all day, it's not, but if you're like got deadlines and things to post and different things going on, it's not easy to pull
that's
2 days out of your day or out of your
week.
That's you know,
true.
Maybe
that's
it is.
A good point.
I don't know.
No, it's
it's not.
It's not.
You know,
I just haven't done it in a while.
A guy asked me
like a business trip. I haven't done a business. I haven't gone out of town in
a while.
No, I went out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but it wasn't for a long time. But yeah, I mean, I'll leave it with this. This guy had just texted me and he was saying like for X amount of dollars, like good money, you know, would you travel 100 days a year? I was like, hell no. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's so disruptive to your life to like, you know, that's a traveling lifestyle. It is brutal.
How much would you need?
Oh man, it's insane. I wouldn't even want to mention it on here, but I mean, I don't know if I'd do it for $1 million. Like, I don't want to travel 100 days a year ever.
Yeah.
That's not a life I want to live.
Yeah. It's your life. And that's the only thing that ends.
Yeah. You're not going to get
time is the only thing that you can't get back.
You want your kids to not see you for 1/3 of the year for sure.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's putting a lot of, value on money.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure you get some financial freedom, but hey, you probably just move into a bigger house and spend a bunch of money. That's how it seems to really work in real life.
Yeah. And you'll still need money.
Yeah.
Like you'll just have a bigger house. Then you'll be like, I need more money than this.
Yeah. You'll have a new G-Wagon. Just like, look at this.
Yeah. It's like those billionaires. They're like, it's all about like who has the biggest yacht. Like it never stops.
Yeah, I know.
Well, maybe $1 billion. I'd like to think it would stop.
It doesn't though.
But it doesn't.
No.
What is that?
It's human nature, bro. What do our favorite people say? Don't try to stack up treasures here on earth. That would be what we leave to our favorite folks.
All right, we got
to
go.
Cool. Well, nice work today.
Thank you. You too.
That was a good one.
Love you guys.